Good morning and welcome. Saturday morning means it is time for Final Draft, half hour every week of books, writing and literary culture. Get your reading on for the weekend ahead. My name is Andrew Popel. Every week I get to bring you new books, writers, authors. Sydney Writers Festival is almost here. That means we are about to be inundated with writers, authors, so many books from across Australia and across the world. And I'm here to bring you festival content. I want you to get excited. It's only a couple of days away. Starts on Monday. And to that end, I've got a little bit of festival here in the show. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Viola De Grado. Viola is an Italian author. She was much acclaimed for her first novel, 70% Acrylic, 30% Wool. And we're going to be talking about her latest, which is called Hollow Heart. It's an intriguing story of a girl's life as a ghost following her suicide. Later on in the show, I'm going to be joined by Peter Pilates. Peter Pilates is the author of Down the Hume. It came out earlier this year to huge acclaim. Peter is guest curating a section of the Sydney Writers Festival. What an exciting opportunity to actually craft some of what we see and some of the discussion that is going to be coming out of the festival. So Peter and I are discussing what it means to be asked to do that and how you even go about curating for a writers' festival. Of course, later on in the show, I'm going to be joined by Final Draft producer Jen Worgan, and Jen and I are going to be giving you our thoughts and our picks for the week of Writers Festival. It's a Writers Festival-y kind of show. Stay tuned, just a short break, and then I'm going to be back with all the books.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Welcome, good morning. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and my name is Andrew Popel. So Sydney Writers Festival starts on Monday, a whole week celebrating writing and literary culture, featuring authors from across Australia and around the world. One of the international authors joining this year's festival is Viola De Grado. She is the acclaimed author of 70% Acrylic, 30% Wool, which was published in 10 countries and later went on to be shortlisted for the Strega, Italy's premier literary award. Her second novel is Hollow Heart, and it is the story of 25-year-old Dorothea Giglio. When we meet Dorothea, she's committed suicide and finds herself inhabiting her life as a ghost, moving through the scenes of her life, trying to comprehend eternity. As Dorothea's body decomposes, she meticulously chronicles the downfall of a corporeal form while searching for companionship amidst her fellow ghosts. What begins in death becomes very much about life as Dorothea examines her existence across both planes. Viola De Grado joined me via Skype from Rome, and we discussed her unique perspective on death in Hollow Heart and how she felt about exploring these really difficult topics. And just heads up, look, this conversation does contain really serious themes, including suicide. If this could be upsetting for you, you can tune out for the next 8 minutes or so. But look, you can also get help through Lifeline if this brings up anything for you. Lifeline's number is 131114, or you can visit them at lifeline.org. But right now, we're going to join this discussion with Viola and look at some of her unique perspectives on death.
I didn't really want to, put borders between life and death. I wanted to break that wall because, in our culture, we really need this wall. We need to know when it's life and when it's death. But death is much more complex than that. It's not an event, it's a process, both biologically and in other senses. She had a terrible relationship with her boyfriend. She didn't know her father. She always felt like she wasn't really living. And so the paradox is she dies and then she understands how to live. So she's always been a ghost. The life she's living after her death is really close to the life she was living when she was alive.
And in fact, you and Dorothea blur those boundaries as she moves through aspects of her life, and quite fascinatingly, she continues to work. If I think about anything that I could leave behind, often it is work, but she finds a sort of vindication in turning up and continuing this process that was a part of her life, and her boss can still see her. What was that process about, that some people are sensitive enough to look beyond, or is this just another breaking down of those boundaries?
I don't really know. We should ask the Dorothea's boss, but I think it may be about really seeing a person, because this guy, he was a really good person, probably the only one in her life, and so he really could see her both when she was alive and when she was dead.
And as Dorothea's body decomposes, she meticulously chronicles the downfall of her corporeal form. Was this an extension of this sort of daily voyeurism that we have thrown at us, particularly online, and a fetishizing of our bodies? I really felt like Dorothea perhaps needed an Instagram account for the process.
Yes, sort of. And also, you know, that's what, like, teenage girls do. They keep a diary and they write everything about their life. And so that's what she's continuing to do. She's writing everything. And now it's a matter of flesh and bones. But yes, what you said is also true. It's our culture is all about exposing the self and the body. And so she doesn't feel uncomfortable in seeing her body decomposing.
Now, the dead cannot read. In fact, Dorothea reflects early in the novel that it's very sad. You write down your thoughts, and before you know it, they're no longer yours. Now, she can't look over her thoughts as she chronicles this afterlife. But I wondered also perhaps if there was something of your reflections here. Is this something of the writer's experience, a frustration that you have to confront as your words are published and then appropriated by readers that are going to take their own understanding from them?
Yeah, you know, probably unconsciously, that's what I've put into that part, because yes, sometimes I feel like writers are like, you know, torrent files. People just get pieces and bits from them, and then they put everything together in their brains. So it's like, because it, you know, you see an interview, you read something, and then you understand something, and then you create your own puzzle of that person. And so, yes, it may be about that. But in Dorothea's case, it's also because she can actually do things. She can move objects. So she has the power to do things to act in life. But she's not the character in that life anymore. So it's like, although she can act, all these actions are actually done by no one. So that's the frustration. And so writing is also about that.
As she comprehends that eternity, she does want to chronicle it, but it's very difficult for her to reflect. She can't read, she can't see anything that she's writing, and some of her companions have extraordinary memories. But what do you think that would do to us if we didn't have this process of writing, this process of reflection, and we had to rely only on our own memories of who we are and our experiences?
Well, I really can't imagine, because, you know, I've always been writing since I was like 4. And so that's always been my only way to live, because while I'm living, I'm already writing that life. Even if I'm not writing, I'm writing in my head. So I really can't imagine not writing. It's like I'm a writer before I'm a person.
Now, Viola, recently I've been just hate watching the new Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's the story of a suicide. It's told in a particularly, I feel like, ham-fisted way. And it's been coming under fire as perhaps a dangerous influence for teenagers that are at risk of mental illness. I really felt like Hollow Heart is more deft in its handling. It's surreal, it's absurd sometimes, but it's not didactic. In creating this story, did you feel any need to strike a balance, though, in your discussion of suicide?
No, I don't think literature has to teach you something. Yeah, so I wasn't thinking about that at all.
Are you familiar with the series that I'm talking about?
Yes, I'm actually watching it these days, yes.
Yeah, I just, it's sort of a car crash type of thing where you know you shouldn't look, but I can't turn away. But I really, it's quite strange to have reading your book at the same time as watching it, because seeing thematically these ideas dealt with in such different ways, it's perhaps one of the powers of art to give us this opportunity to explore. And I wonder when critics sort of start to talk about, well, people just shouldn't be watching this, it might be too dangerous for them, if we're not selling ourselves short.
Yes, I absolutely think there shouldn't be such a thing as not showing something to people because you would be afraid they will do it too. I mean, I don't think literature has to comfort people or make them feel better or make them understand something. You know, it's beyond that. It's not you know, it's not a chamomile tea. It's something that has to shake you, because it has to make you understand things, and things are not always, you know, nice, and they don't always make you feel better.
You're on 2SER 107.3. You're tuned into Final Draft, and that was Italian author Viola De Grado discussing her latest novel, Hollow Heart. Now, if that conversation was distressing for you, or if it brought up anything, you can get help through Lifeline. Lifeline's number is 131114. You can also visit Lifeline at lifeline.org.au to get help if you are going through anything at the moment. Now, Viola is going to be appearing in Sydney this week as part of Sydney Writers Festival. You can catch her doing on Thursday, May 25th, Viola De Grado. She's going to be talking about Hollow Heart with Lex Hurst. You may remember Lex. She used to do a bunch of stuff for us here at Final Draft. It's great to see, you know, so many Final Draft people out there in the book world. Viola's also going to be at the SWF Gala, Advice from Nasty Women. That's Saturday, May 27th, and Sex, Blood and Death on Sunday, May 28th. If you want more information, if you're looking to get tickets, go to swf.org.au. My name is Andrew Popel. You are tuned into Final Draft. And right now we're going to take a track before we come back with more Sydney Writers Festival for you. This is brand new, like when I say brand new, 2 days ago, brand new, from Grizzly Bear, and it's called Morning Sound.
I should have never tried. I took the cake, finished every slice. I moved away, still paying off the fines.
On May 27, you may well have to change your plans if you don't want to miss the 2SER Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. 2SER's celebration of all things Bob will go for 8 hours and feature news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the Bob songs that fit, starting at 8 p.m. and going through till 4 in the morning. The Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon on 2SER, May 27, from 8 p.m. 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music, and Bob.
Good morning, you're listening to Final Draft, you're on 2SER 107.3, and my name is Andrew Popel. Sydney Writers Festival, all this week down at Walsh Bay, across the city, you have the chance to indulge in the meeting of minds and celebration of ideas that happens when amazing authors, illustrators, writers, graphic novelists come together and discuss our world. But have you ever considered who brings these thinkers together and sets the agenda for what they will be discussing? Peter Polides is an Associate Director of Sweatshop, Western Sydney Writers Collective. His debut novel, Down the Hume, came out early this year to critical acclaim, and he has guest curated a special section of this year's Sydney Writers Festival programming. Thank you for joining me on Final Draft, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, it's exciting to chat. We've got a long association with Sweatshop on Final Draft. I love finding out about what's happening, and also at Sydney Writers Festival, so what better chance to chat? But I'm curious, Peter, you get the call to curate a part of the Writers Festival. What are your first thoughts? What are your priorities about what you can achieve with this?
Well, the first thing was excitement and then nervousness. But I thought that because I come from Sweatshop, and Sweatshop definitely has a value system, you know, and so I wanted to tailor it around what the value system was in our collective and what we represent within broader Sydney and broader Australian literature.
Can you unpack that a little bit more for me? How do you go about representing that, and how has that been realised in your program?
There's two aspects of it that I have to consider, right? The first thing is that I think writing for me is in some ways about borders. Like, if you look at the emergence of the novel historically, it comes from a time when nation states were emerging. So there's a parallel between the rise of the nation state and the novel. So that's why borders is a key theme. But also politically, borders represent the borders of our own countries, the borders of our sexuality, the borders of our gender, and the borders of our class, and the borders of our cultural backgrounds.
Your festival program is really heavily influenced by this theme of borders, and I'm really curious about how these borders play out in our life and what you wanted to examine about them in your program.
Well, what I wanted to examine, I think I looked at, like, instead of looking at an overall intersectionality of it, I kind of played it more simply. Like, I distilled some ideas. So in one of the key events, I was looking at the borders of our writing, and one of it is I'm interviewing Maxine and Rajit about the ideas of what international dialogues are at play within their work. In terms of someone like the borders of our sexuality, I'm interested in the idea of unpacking how do we write about our sexuality in a time when, in the time of homo nationalism, you know, and homo nationalism is this big spectra that's haunting kind of the idea of queer bodies at the moment, where gay rights can seem incompatible to ideas of immigration and allowing people from different nations into a country. And often at times we use sexuality as a bulwark against immigration, as we see with someone like Milo Yiannopoulos. And so I'm interested in this idea of the borders of our sexuality. Like, when does the borders of our own personal freedoms oppress others?
Saturday, you're going to be doing a panel. It's called Borders of the Queer Body. You'll be appearing with C.S. Picard, Ivan Coyote, and Benjamin Law. And I'm curious, we live in a climate with these wildly fluctuating realities where we have gay marriage becoming a reality, just not in Australia. In countries like Chechnya, we have gay men being targeted and killed for their sexual identity. And in exploring these borders and in literature, what role does literature have in defining and representing things like queer characters and how these realities exist around the world?
I think because we're in a transitional period of queer bodies, you know, we're seeing kind of like the push for marriage equality is a push for kind of normalization of, you know, the you know, to conservatize kind of queer people, you know, like I think the Tories in the UK explicitly said so. But then at the same time, historically, we've got this writing tradition of the queer bodies where, if you look at all the, like, epistemology of where it all comes from, like, going all the way back from, you know, Dejeuner to, you know, Hollinghurst to Chalkers to all these people, they've always written about, like, underground queer outsiders, you know? Mm. And so I'm still interested in defining that aspects and finding those aspects within kind of literature today. And I think that's a duality that I play out within my own book, you know, like Down the Hume. This idea that there's this outsider, but visible to this outsider is this conservative world of 2.5 families that include a French bulldog, you know?
So is a tension emerging then when you talk about these dualities and this normalization of identities through things like, you know, a very sort of old institution like marriage, and the borderline, the front line, where we still do have, I guess, people fighting on the frontiers for rights?
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is that, like, we have people fighting for rights in different countries internationally, but what's at play in Australia is something that's quite complex, you know? And that's the role of literature, to represent that complexity and all those, all that social architecture around it.
And in our single lives, I mean, we have one chance. We live our life as it is. Is literature maybe the only gateway we have to look at the plurality of those existences for other people?
Well, I think no. I think we can understand it through different ways and through living it and through experiencing it. But I think literature is a commentary on it, you know, and a representation of it. And literature should raise more questions than it resolves.
Sydney Writers Festival. It's happening from Monday. And as Sydneysiders descend on Walsh Bay Festival Precinct for the festival, we're seeing events expand throughout the city this year. How do you feel about Sydney's literary culture and its representation and embracing particularly of Western Sydney?
I think there's a schism in me where I think it's really important that the Sydney Writers Festival is centralised. You know, and that it happens at one place, and that it's a beautiful marquee event in this beautiful space. And I think the way we get people to participate that is by including more writing culture from Western Sydney, which is what I program into the festival with the launch of the Big Black Thing, which is going to be a Sweatshop event. I'm not reading at it, but some of the newer emerging voices from Sweatshop are reading at it. And I think that's a way where we can kind of find the dialogue between Western Sydney and Sydney.
The voice we have been listening to is Peter Pilates. We are talking about his guest curation of Sydney Writers Festival program. And if you want to hear more from Peter, he has an extremely packed festival. Peter, I can't believe how busy you're going to be. You can catch him at a range of events across the festival, including Borders of the Queer Body, the Big Black Thing launch from Sweatshop, Tough Love, Writing Complex Relationships, and Borders of Our Writing. That's not all of them. If you want more information or if you want to get tickets to any of these events, you can go to swf.org.au. Peter, thank you so much for joining me on Final Draft and sharing your festival.
A million times, thank you.
Sydney Writers Festival returns on 22nd of May. Hundreds of curious, compassionate and insightful writers from around the world will gather in Sydney for Australia's largest celebration of literature, stories and ideas. They'll be sharing their wisdom, wit and knowledge at venues across the city. Join them from the 22nd to 28th of May. Tickets on sale now at swf.org.au. Sydney Writers Festival, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You're on 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft. And it's Sydney Writers Festival week. We can't get enough of talking about this festival. My name's Andrew Popel. If you are looking for something to do down at the festival, I have just the thing for you. I'm joined in the studio by Jen Worgan. How are you, Jen?
I'm really good.
And look, last week you gave us one of your picks for the festival. Let's talk some more picks because it's only 2 days away. People are going to have to start making decisions.
Yeah.
What are you recommending?
Well, a panel I'm really excited about is This Won't End Well, which is Secrets of Great Short Storytelling with George Saunders and Joy Williams. I think they're both real masters of short story writing, and it's going to be so exciting to see them both speak.
I think that would be really fantastic. I just finished Lincoln in the Bardo.
Oh, yeah.
And it's incredible.
It's so good.
I've got so much respect for Saunders' writing. I haven't read any of his short fiction yet, but I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You should get on it.
Oh, wow. So that's coming up. That's on Friday.
Yeah.
People can get along. It's in the afternoon, 1:30, so that's one to knock off work for.
Yeah, it's nice. After lunch.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, do a long lunch down at Walsh Bay.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. This is happening on the Saturday night. I'm really excited for one of the gala events.
Oh, cool.
Advice from Nasty Women. So that phrase, nasty women, I don't know what it means to you, Jen, but I mean, I don't like to give airtime to Donald Trump, but...
Oh, no one does.
He really unleashed something, didn't he?
He did.
How did you feel when he called Hillary Clinton a nasty woman and that just sort of became this rallying cry?
I mean, I was so upset when he said that, but I was so excited to see all of these women reclaim the word as their own.
And that use of language and that reclaiming of language is so powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
This panel is phenomenal. It's worth getting on to. Chris Krause, we've got Nadia Spiegelman, we've got Anita Heiss, Britt Bennett, Durga Chubose, Viola De Grado. Now, I spoke to her earlier in the show, so you know a little bit about her book, Hollow Heart, and Sophie Black. They're all coming together to discuss what it means to be a nasty woman in the 21st century. Wow. So have you got a few tickets already, Jen?
Yeah, I've been buying tickets to the festival.
I'm really excited. So it's only 2 days away. If you haven't got your tickets yet, if you're still thinking and just need more information, go to swf.org.au. We are almost at the end of today's Final Draft. I want to say a huge thank you to Viola De Grado. She joined me via Skype from Italy talking about her book, Hollow Heart. To Peter Pilates, who joined me on the phone. He is curating a section of the festival. And also to Jen Worgan, who came in and we discussed festival picks. You can listen back at 2SER.com. Vulture's Nest is coming up next. But till next week, I hope you enjoy the festival. Say g'day if you see me wandering around, and I'll be back with more books on Final Draft. Bye now.